In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We have before us this beautiful gospel passage of the parable of the sower. It's one of my favorite gospel passages because it tells us so much about what our God is like. Many people misunderstand the parable and think that the different soils that the sower is casting the seed over and into means that God, that we're stuck in whatever state that we're in. But this beautiful parable is actually nearly the entire opposite of that in its meaning. But we need to understand a few things first, is that when our Lord is talking about belief, he's not primarily talking about facts, about what we might think of what God is or what the church teaches us, though those are good and they are secure ground for us to know that we're not deluded in our beliefs about God. But what he has in mind when he's talking about belief and faith is faithfulness, of trust in God. Because the seed is not just cast, but what's important is what happens next, is how does it grow? That's an important part to keep in mind. We often lose sight of that aspect of growth that is in the parable. This is how the Lord identifies why he's talking about the different types of land or soil. The rocky, the thorny, the hard-packed road, or the good soil where it grows well. But the reason I love this parable so much is because the sower is Christ himself. And what is the sower doing? He's tossing seeds wherever he is. He's tossing the seeds into all sorts of land. And that seed that he's casting is the Word of God, his very self, his very action in the universe, in creation, in the scriptures to come to know him, in the very actions of his church. These are the seeds that are being cast, and they're cast into the soil of each and every one of our hearts. And what I love is that this sower is not like the other, like any other farmer that we might know. Most sowers, when they're sowing seed, they choose a time and they choose a place carefully before they plant. But this sower, our Lord, doesn't pay attention to the quality of the land where he plants. He walks through rocks, thorn bushes, rover roadways, and in places of good and prepared soil, and each time he treats it the same, casting out handfuls of seeds and seeing how it grows. St. John Chrysostom points this out. He says that Christ came and gave the loving words to all without holding anything against anyone. He made no distinction as he spoke to people between rich and poor, between wise and unwise, between slothful and diligent, between brave or cowards. Rather, he gave to everyone. This is what makes this sower, our Lord, different. And St. Gregory Palamas focuses in on those seeds. He talks about the seeds are the words of the gospel of the kingdom. They are the very word of God, meaning the Son of God himself, his very own eternal words that are sown into creation. They are the laws of creation. They are the commandments and the prophetic words given to the Israelites. And they are especially the gospel of grace preached by Christ and his apostles. This is just given to everyone. Can you imagine, again returning to the image of the sower, what a fellow farmer might have thought about his method of planting? We actually do get a hint of this throughout the Gospels. Who are those others who are diving into the scriptures and trying to sow seeds? They're the Pharisees, they're the Sadducees, they're the scribes. We know what they think of Christ's method. They find him to be some sort of insane traitor and even a blasphemer for his method of spreading the seeds of himself, of the gospel, everywhere to all mankind. And they hated that he told the apostles to continue along in this way. That sower, who is Jesus Christ, has not stopped sowing in this unrestrained fashion through his church. So this is who our God is, and we need to understand that. This is who we are striving to remain faithful to, the God who doesn't show partiality but gives to all. And that's who we can participate with. And that's the other important part that I think many people get wrong about the different types of soil. We kind of say, well, which one am I? And we leave it at that and say, well, I guess that's what I am. I'm rocky soil. I'm the briar patch. I'm the hard-packed road. But everywhere that our Lord sows, he is sowing in this way because he has an endless supply of his seeds. And he's not choosy where he sows because we have a role to play in how those seeds grow. We need to hear the parable with the ears of our Orthodox spirituality and the mind of the church. This is how we have the ears to hear it properly. And I want to give a hint of that today. To hear it as Orthodox Christians, we need to hear it as a parable that's about repentance. Because our repentance is how we participate with God. That's how we work with him. Repentance is knowing, at least as the first step, the kind of soil that currently makes up some portion or maybe the whole of your heart, and working to improve that soil, working to make it closer to the good soil where Christ continues to spread the seed, that soil can be prepared and that plant can grow deep roots and grow strong. It doesn't mean that I am the hard-packed earth or the rocky place or the thicket of thorny bushes and I can't do anything about it. That's a Calvinist double predestination nonsense understanding. We can work to change, and God will help the soil of our heart to change. The seeds in those lands, what do? If we're looking at ourselves and we say, where does this apply? Our Lord gave us what each one of those soil means. If I look at myself and I see nothing growing, then I know that my heart is hard. It's like the road. And the aerial spirits and Satan and his demons, they easily remove those seeds so that they can never have a chance to grow. Do I look at myself and I know that I get excited? I'm filled with joy and hope and in belief, but then I quickly lose that hope. I quickly lose the trust in God. Then I have that rocky soil where the roots that are struggling to grow and go deep into the ground. And I know that there's some work to clear out those rocks. Do I look at myself and I say, I have faith, it begins to grow, but I find myself stuck spiritually? Then I know that the soil of my heart has many thorny plants that are choking, that our Lord identifies as the cares and riches and pleasures of life. Those are growing next to where the seeds have been planted, and they're choking out the fruit that may be there. Faith here is there and is alive, but it's too weak from the competition for the fruits of faith, of peace, of joy, of hope, of love, and all the fruits of the virtues to be able to grow in strength. Do I look at myself and I say, there is some faith, I see some growth in all honesty, and that I have some strength to share that faith with others? Then I know that at least in this area of my life, there is good soil where the seeds of the Word of God are cultivated and they are growing with fruits that are patiently maturing. So when we look at ourselves, the question we need to ask is, what do I need to do to make the soil good? How do I work with God to cultivate the soil of my heart? I need to pay attention to the beauty of the natural world and thank God for it. And some of those rocks might be removed. Some of the cares and distractions and pleasures of life might be torn up. That thicket of briar patch or whatever, the thorny bushes, might be pulled up more. I read the scriptures and desire to know God and his ways when I read them and what he did for us. And again, maybe a few more rocks are torn up. A few more thorny bushes are torn up. I listen to the promptings of my conscience and I follow it. And again, more is cleared out and more good soil is there. Things aren't competing with it or preventing the roots from growing deep. So I set aside time without distraction to pray. I pay attention to what's going on within me so that I can identify where the rocks are, where the thorn bushes are, where there's just a hard-packed earth that I need more. So I set aside this time and I ask God to help identify where those things are in my life so they can be uprooted. The rocky places can be dug up and sifted out and the good things put back. And where the hard pack of the road may need to be loosened up so that the seeds can grow. And I can receive the abundance of the seeds that our Lord, the sower, continues to toss out. The fathers, and speaking of that last one, of the rocky places, have an additional method for cultivating the soil of especially a hard-packed, hard soil of a heart. And they call it tears and sighing. That is, mourning our state, but with hope. When we mourn our state, especially when it's hard-packed road and nothing can grow there, it's just dirt that can't be fruitful. When we mourn our state and we have hope, we know we have hope because we know that there is a better way and that our Master will help us attain it. So our tears, our sighing, our mourning about that state, the tears and the sighing, they begin to break up and soften the soil of the heart so that it can become good soil. It's watered by our tears and the seeds can grow. So my brothers and sisters, this is how we work with God. This is the meaning of the parable, to work on the heart so that good soil is there. The more that the borders of the good soil expand within you, as you notice the beauty, you read the scriptures, you begin to follow your conscience more closely, you pray attentively, you mourn that there isn't more of that good soil within you, all this blessed spiritual work, this is what is our life as Orthodox Christians. The more you will begin to notice his love, his providence that are everywhere, and there will be a fruitful garden of peace that will grow. Knowing that he is the constant caring farmer. He's constantly scattering the seeds in the act of his constant love and care for you. We just need to get a little bit of work to do these things. So today, in whichever way you might feel that you're convicted, to embrace that life of repentance, that means that you want to change and that you're taking some steps to work to do so. It won't happen all at once or overnight while you sleep that now the good soil is everywhere in your heart. No, it's a work of a lifetime of joyful mourning and blessed work. And when we begin mourning for our sins and repenting, that will soften the hard earth of our heart. It'll make us notice where the thickets have grown up and we need to do some weeding, where we need to sift the dirt so that the rocks don't get in the way of the roots, and the seeds are watered. Christ has planted those seeds in your heart. Eventually, all that unsuitable soil will become a place of plenty and of repose. And in the place within the heart, there will be a paradise garden that God dwells in, and in which you can walk and converse with him. So my prayer for you all is none other than that this place grows and exists within you, and that it is a large garden, well known to you and familiar, that you can return to often. And my next prayer is that its borders are ever expanding of the good soil. And then when we have these things, when we work like this and trust in God and have hope that this is a possibility, there'll be a lush paradise of the kingdom within, a garden abundantly laden and bearing fruit with this patient trust in God. This is what our Lord is giving to us in this parable, a way of knowing him and what his character is like and how we can work with him. So let us take this up. Let us pay attention. Let us read and know him and look and see him in all things and in all places and everywhere present. Amen.